When I was a kid, I was really big into video games. Love video games. To this day, actually. I don't own any consoles anymore, but you just know I'm gonna get one again someday soon because I just love video games. I think it's a great way to create flow experiences. I had a lot of flow experiences as a child, and so video games can actually add a lot to a child's life. I think the reputation of video games is very damaged and ill-informed, actually. So one of the games I used to love was Final Fantasy. It's one of the most popular video game series of all time. They have over 15 games published over decades. It's from Japanese origins. And in Final Fantasy, it was an action adventure. You had this open world that you would run through and do things and battle monsters and things like that with a group of people. And one of the common features of all Final Fantasy games was that you could synthesize items. Okay, so you could collect some kind of ore and some special kind of fire in a bottle or other things like that, some kind of ornament, and you would put that all together. And then you could synthesize, let's say, a sword or some kind of magic staff, or some weapon, a shield, whatever, okay? But synthesizing, this idea of synthesizing things, it was very big in those video games. And the way you would synthesize things is that you had to collect all the parts that you need. There was a list, like a recipe. You had to collect those parts, then you gave it to someone, and they would synthesize that item for you, and then you could use it. Okay? Writing works very much the same. The problem is you don't know which parts you need to synthesize whatever you want to write. So you can't really know what exactly it is you need until you can synthesize a certain thing, a certain article, a certain book, a certain tweet, whatever. Now, the thing about this synthesis is that these two problems, if you've ever found yourself falling for these two problems we just discussed, which is basically my idea is going to be stolen or I'm going to steal someone else's idea, it's usually the problem that you are misinformed about this process of synthesis and how it works. Basically, it's a misconception about how ideas actually form. So let me give you an example. I wrote an article that has the title, "There are two ways to judge people, both are useless." And I was sitting on that article for a long time, okay? Because I knew that I've had collected this idea of there are two ways of how we judge people, which is basically one by their intentions, what they plan to do, and one by their actions, what they're actually doing. And I was trying to figure out which one is better? Which one should you use? Should you only have one as your standard, or can you mix the two even? Does that even work? And so on. I couldn't figure that out, okay? So one day I was reading an article where I actually stole the title from, which was, "There are two ways to read, one is useless." And in that article, it was a lot about curiosity, letting your curiosity guide you through reading and not worrying so much about what's the best information I can extract here and so on, but letting the reading itself, the process, letting that change you subconsciously, and somehow that's going to add value to how you navigate the world. And after I read that, it was a couple days later, somehow I was in the shower or somewhere, I got the idea. I was like, man, actually, what I'm going to talk about is similar because both of these ways of judging people are useless because you're always comparing. So you're always comparing people to what you do, what other people do, no matter what the standard is. The standard sucks. Having a standard, that's the problem. And actually, curiosity is a much better response. So when someone does something to hurt you, ask, like, why did they do that? And then you'll soon figure out it's much more about the other person. It's their problem. But you have to be curious. You have to be willing to inquire about these things. And that's why I eventually didn't say, okay, there are two ways to judge people. Here's the one that works, or he's the one that doesn't. But both of them are useless. Okay? So that's when that sort of came together. Now, that's a more obvious example, right? I want to make one that's a lot less obvious. The example that's a lot less obvious is that I like to write about superheroes. I love superhero movies. You've seen it. It's a recurring theme in my work, maybe.
Young man, we need a professional hero, not an amateur.
Superheroes are everywhere. I love the movies, and I'm a big fan of Marvel and DC and all that stuff, so I love these things. And I wrote an article about ambition, and I just wanted to pick a superhero that I could use to make a point about ambition. And I was looking around for popular superheroes, and I didn't know which one to use. And eventually, I just realized I need Spider-Man.
You're that spider guy on YouTube, right?
Call me Spider-Man!
Okay, Spider-Man! Don't flip! Yeah! Oh. I'm good.
I picked Spider-Man, I wrote the article, I was happy with it, I published it, and so on, right? So 2 days later, after I published the article, I'm in the shower in the morning, and I pick up the shampoo bottle, and guess who looks at me? Spider-Man. I brought the bottle. Here, check it out. That's the one. I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I was like, holy shit, that's why I picked Spider-Man. Because this thing had been in our house for weeks. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, hey mom, you bought this thing, it's cool, it's kind of funny. And that was the first time I saw it. So I had been exposed to Spider-Man for weeks, okay? So no matter what list of superheroes I would look at, I was always gonna pick Spider-Man because my subconscious had been primed for Spider-Man for weeks by the time that I wrote the article. I was always gonna choose Spider-Man, but I had no way of knowing that, okay? And those are the super subtle and subconscious ways that ideas form. Ideas are constantly forming in your subconscious. There's this huge kind of maze spiral thingy where deep down in your subconscious, and everything goes in there. And then it spins round and round and round. And when you sit down to write, and you type something, you start typing, the subconscious always sends something up. And it's gonna send up something recent. That's just the way the human brain works. So, but for me, that was Spider-Man, and it worked out great, okay? But I had no way of knowing that when I was writing the article or even before, right? And it was a coincidence that I found out after. So that's really how pros treat ideas, okay? It's a process. It's part of doing the work that they happen, and they're always forming. You're always working on ideas when you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're not writing, when you're writing. So it's not like an idea is a finite thing. They all have numbers, and they arrive in your head, and they're done, and they're pre-shaped, and you can pick them and use them and send them out, and some are going to be great and some are not so great. No, that's not how it works. It's a crazy mess inside your head that you have to pull out strings from, and you can always pull out something. So that's just something I wanted to clarify about ideas and how they form, and I hope that makes you less prone to falling into the consistency and inspiration sort of trap. Now with that, I want to cover one big thing about mindset and basically share something from my history in writing and the place it has in my head with you, and then we'll wrap this module up and get cracking on consistency.